Good morning, honorable members. Well, and the delegation from the Department of Science and Technology. I think we can start now. We have organized also some breakfast. Today, we are going to be looking into what we requested to be done last week. Meaning that some of the inconsistencies that were observed last week, if they have been rectified and put to, and put together the grant context. I wonder who is going to lead us, whether the department or the law advisors. I don't think that we need any introduction because we are the same delegation as I got to the last meeting. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, Chair. Good morning, Honourable Members. We sat with the department and had a combined meeting with our team, the supervisor researcher and the department supervisor, to try and address the issues raised by members previously. I'm not going to go through issues that were already explained and not delve into further. The members will have a consolidated document in front with the now almost amended draft table, and then the second phase amendments proposed then in together with the old one, reworded in green. There was one email yesterday, but there were a few technical grammatical changes that should not have paid up on and also the proper members. I think if we can go to clause one with mission chairperson, dealing with section one of amending the Scientific Research Council Act, an issue that was raised straight through all the amendments was the idea of the publication in the newspaper. And it's aligned with the adequate almost exactness in the country that people can be aware, the public can be sufficiently aware of the notices out there. The proposed amendment then is that it's published in a notice, that the minister published a notice in the Gazette and three newspapers with due regard to the Youth and Special Language Act. While that is in there, the Youth and Special Languages Act sets a minimum of three languages by which departments must communicate with the public as far as government services are concerned. So when there's an interest in an issue that must be communicated to the public, they must use a minimum of three languages. Every department in terms of that have their own policy in which they choose the three languages and they regulate it. So merely stating that it must be in the Gazette in three newspapers leaves it broad enough for the department to put in its own policy to specify, but then with due regard to that constitutional obligation that is given effective in the Languages Act. Nothing will allow, say, Afrikaans and Kitu or Kosa to be the three languages the departments that require. And then also that their members identified that in this specific principal act, if that represents an independent panel, members will see that we have drawn that through the other amendments as well. Do you need to approve of the amendment? Is there any questions, Chairperson? Possible alterations or amendments?
Has the department already indicated which three languages is there a policy regarding a choice? And then also, so you've included the word independent, right through, independent panel. I just remember that Tulani last time mentioned the fact if it's independent, then the department cannot intervene or... And I read his face and he looked very concerned, so I just want to know exactly, just explain to me, is it, because I insisted on having independent included into, just for some more clarity, Chair, thank you.
Thank you, Chair, thank you, Member. The independent there, we discussed that in our drafting meeting as well, Dutch art is not independent naturally of the minutes. It's independent in the process, in the way that the panel works, because the panel is set up to inform the minutes, to give the minutes the necessary information. So it is independent in that sense of outside influence, of bias. It must be transparent. The independence is within the context. It's not that, yeah, they're going to be working in a vacuum and they're going to be keeping information from the ministry. It's more that they are independent from outside influence, not to be bribed. They must act in an independent manner when they're shortest. So it's your basic natural justice principles. You must act in a particularly fair manner. You must act in a transparent manner. So independent that has a panel is functioning. And I think then Brian will just answer to the policy question.
Thanks, Chair. Good morning, honourable members. Regarding the question about the language policy, the Act, the Use of Official Languages Act, was promulgated last year, and the Department of Arts and Culture has started conversations with the department, and we are currently working with the department with a view to formulating appropriate language policies, because each department is required to have all the language. So we're currently working with the Department of Arts and Culture to formulate those policies.
Understood the explanation, but what has been the norm? If the norm and practice when they are to use the official languages in any advertisement.
Morning, honourable members. The current practice is that we have been publicizing the names or the call for nominations in two major newspapers in the country. So in most instances, the English language has been utilized in a sense. But recently, obviously, when we were, I think, calling for nominations for the SSR support, we extended that to an African newspaper. But as I said, the norm has been to the two national newspapers. Thank you.
Excuse me, Jay, I just want to ask one more question on independent. Are you going to include it you've got a definition of certain words in the bill, you get it in the act, are you going to give a proper definition as to exactly what you mean with independent in this context of independent handling?
Thank you.
Thank you,
Member. In this context, it's not really necessary to define independent, because it carries a general meaning. Your normal drafting principle is you only define a term that goes outside the normal meaning of the word. And because the department has included reference to PAJA, the Promotion of Administrative Justice Act, throughout every procedure that is followed in terms of that overarching legislation must carry those natural justice principles I referred to. So the meaning is that it's a general legal meaning, therefore definition is strictly necessary in the specific act. Nothing goes beyond the focus of the natural or normal meaning. Share them with permission. I remember saying also the other amendments, I think, in this clause, the forestry be concerned, is something that was presented.
Where are we now?
Still in clause 1, she
was
3B was an amendment.
2B. On B, A, B, there's a maximum number specified, which is not more than 20 people shortlisted. And on 2B, it says if the minister receives no nominations or an insufficient number of nominations, what I would like to find out is the insufficient. Who would decide that this number is insufficient? What number is it? Is it two insufficient? If the applicants or the minister are two, is it insufficient? If there are five, what does it mean? Because it's quite big or ambiguous.
Mm.
Insufficient can be interpreted differently by different people, by different panelists.
Thank you, Chair. That will depend on the context of the vacancies available. That is why it's brought in that sense, and doesn't say specific insufficient will be less than a certain number. For instance, if the whole board, is open, and if it's to A, there is not fewer than five, then if the nominations are four, then by implication in that context, it's an insufficient number to fill the whole board. But if there's only two vacancies, and then in open, and the rest of the board is still there, then four would be a sufficient number. So depending on the number of open slots on a board, the number of nominations received will determine where the level of sufficient lies. That's why we can't put in a set number or a benchmark, because then it might prevent the minister from acting if context requires him to do so, to keep the board functional.
And other than they may be having in one board the total number of 10, in another board the total number of 20, and so forth and so forth. Yes, so that's got to be standardized so that it connects to all boards.
Let us then go back to that the 20, because we are dealing with the number of boards here. But in terms of the maximum, we have another thing, which is 20. Dealing with the number of members in different calls for different entities.
What we're saying in this instance is that if we were to make an illustration, that in certain instances you would find that you have attracted three names when you call for nominations. Now, in the 30 names, you'd find that when we go through them, we only find that maybe there's only four of the 30 who makes, you know, the grade in relation to the kind of skills we're looking for. Because we've seen in the past, you know, people even nominate, people who not even
have support.
You know, and so therefore, if four after 30 that qualifies, and if you go back to the minimum number that the minister must appoint in board, it's a minimum of five and a maximum of nine in this instance, for example. So therefore, if you have four people who are eligible, so therefore that's insufficient for the minister to make an appointment to the board. So then you then, we activate the other process. On the issue of 20, we are saying that the panel will look into the 30 names that have been submitted or nominated. And in that regard, they should not make more than 20 shortlists. They could make 10. They could make 30 in that regard. So the biggest issue here, and I'm trying to deal with the two issues, the insufficient, which I think I've tried to explain, and I think on the 20, really, it's just a number that says, in other instances, actually, you get a very good pool of people, you know, you wish you could actually appoint all of them. But if you have attended 100 and you have a good 30, so we'll find in this 30, we'll reduce it to no more than 20. At least that also gives the minister an opportunity to say, should there be a vacancy, we've already, screened the kind of candidates that you could use to fill up the gaps should they arise later in the life of the board. So really, in this instance, in the 20, really, we will appoint 10, and then we'll have 10 in the pocket for any other reason. But obviously, it's not compulsory that we do that. So I thought I'd just, use those illustrations to indicate exactly what should be the particular clause. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, you can continue.
Thank you, Mayor. Perhaps then, I don't know if we have an highlight that will be throughout all the names as well. Maybe ask what happens, how can, is there provision that the minister can refer back to a shortlist if something happens, or how does he then act in a situation where he doesn't receive enough or enough? We worked in that provision saying the minister may ask a consultation with the panel to find out what went wrong, why there wasn't a sufficient number or no nomination, then act in a transparent manner to appoint the required number of candidates or the required number of members. It was the example given by my colleague from the department last time that sometimes you follow the normal process, you put out an advert and you don't get anything in, then you must give the minister the option or the opportunity to, as long as the process is transparent, try and source from another avenue somebody to fill the position. Otherwise, you're going to sit with an entity that has no accounting board because nobody has come through from the nomination process. Just to build in that buffer to keep the board functional, we put in that, and that members will then see throughout the prior amendment.
I know I asked the point last time, but I'm still not satisfied with the answer in respect of that, is why, as one of the options in respect of a situation, when a situation arises where there is insufficient number of candidates on the table, right? Here, the only option is the minister may appoint, and we exclude the option of re-advertising, and I don't understand why that can't still be an option. I mean, if you advertise on a day, the same day, you've got it in the Sunday Times, you've got it in Ilunga, you've got it in the Burger, in the same day a nuclear bomb falls on Cairo, nobody's going to read a small print or a newspaper. You might want to re-advertise a month later. And I still don't see why you can't say the minister may either re-advertise or, in consultation with the panel, do what you're doing there. Why do you exclude? And the answer last time was an exclusion as opposed to anything else. Why exclude the option of re-advertising?
Thank you, Uncle, and thank you, Shepherdson. I think, Uncle members, this was the way I read it from an interpretation perspective. My colleagues may differ with you. I don't see it as an exclusion. I read it as an alien provision because it's the minister may. And for me, the interpretation of in transparent manner actually includes the option of re-advertising if the context so allows. It can be put in if members I wish, but that to me was in a transparent manner, was brought it up to allow the minister to
re-advertise
if he so wishes.
Yeah, I can't agree with that because the transparent matter there relates not to the identification of candidates but to their appointment. So the transparency isn't in relation to determining in a transparent manner appointment. To me, that's clearly the minister busking around, headhunting, whatever. But I mean, if that's legally what it clearly means, that's fine. But
thanks, Chair. It's, we understood it the same way as the parliamentary advisors explained it. But if the committee wants it to be specified that that option is there, we can. But we don't see a problem with it.
I think it's okay. There's no reason for it. It's for
because when you are raising issues, it is not correct, but what does it allow in the portfolio? If somebody disagrees, must lift up a hand. I'm not rigid about it. It's fine to be like that. Okay. We can move to the next point.
It is perhaps that we don't put a number in. We're creating that idea that re-advertising isn't a transparent method of calling for nomination. So with the agreement that in consultation with Brian, we'll be now just voting to say that either re-advertise or in another transparent manner appoint, if that is acceptable, or in any other.
Yeah, well.
And convention, with permission, if I can move on, 3B is something that was previously highlighted. We had this not raising an issue there, so we didn't redraft or change anything there from the previous provisions. Then still include one chairperson, but on page 2, under subsection 8, members raised the issue there of if there's vacate office. We were taught to go and clarify that the phrasing vacate office was highlighted as too vague, not holding the proper meaning in the context of the clause. So we have substituted a member of the board vacate office to keep us to hold office, and then identifying in those sessions what seating hold office would imply. If that members would wish to comment on whether that is a satisfactory alternative check. Thank you, Chair. Then also in subsection 9, we tweaked it a little bit to just highlight then again the minister may offer consideration of a short list of candidates referred. So it's similar to the appointment process. We can then, with members' permission again, just tweak it. That the previous example was when the minister calls for nomination for the first time and doesn't receive a set of candidates with sufficient number. This is a situation where the minister has now, he's appointed the board, but somebody resigned, and he needs to fill a vacancy, but it's for the remainder of them. So it's not a full term, it's not a new board. So there's now a spot. This is to allow the minister to go back to the short list, see if there's somebody that can fill the spot, for him to appoint it. If there is no one left, or that person may not be available any longer, it might be 2 years later, then just to allow the minister to follow a process in which to fill that vacancy. That then was the proposal to allow for that issue.
Yeah. Is that the case in the second line, and should be or? Because you're talking about the second part of the process and being alternative to the first.
I'm not an English speaking person, but this person was appointed based on the on the basis that he or she met the requirements that were stipulated in the advert. And then if my understanding of this means stops. He or she ceases to meet the requirements. This person was meeting the requirements and now he stops meeting the requirements. What?
So is it to hold office? To hold office.
I'm reading it as a citizen because I'm a legal person and I took this matter to court and it has to do. It says here. He or she. Yes. A member of the board. A member of the board ceases to hold office if he or she ceases to meet the requirements.
So if you go mad, you have to be thrown out.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, members. So I didn't mean to respond to that. Perhaps it has to see the unstable of mind. Example, also something to do with their qualifications. As an advocate, if I do something wrong, I get scratched with the role, and then I can no longer practice. So that's also an example. Somebody has the qualifications and something is wrong and he lost his accreditation. So members, then we will just carry through the org and straight through, and also then in the other aspect where the either or any other, we will also carry that through. So we'll never see similar clauses, we'll step it through us. Also, Chair, in a sub-paragraph of sub-section 10, members asked because the skilled and qualified was linked as a standard for CEO appointments, members asked why fit and proper was and harmonized and carried through for board appointments. So what we have done is we have inserted an E there in subsection 10 for 9 weeks. A person may not be appointed a member of the board if that person is not fit and proper to hold office. So that standard then of a keeper person is included. And sorry, man, that's in the new version that was put together this morning, but the omission should not have a copy there. Apologies. That's something we just picked up quickly this morning and put in.
Just to go back to your 9A, subject to subsection, is it 8 or 5? Because in previous draft it was 5. Is it the typo or which one is the correct one? Is it 5 or 8?
If I can respond, we just in the wording switcher around, there's still a reference to subsection 5 further on. We just included subsection 8 because that says to the requirement of what happens. So subsection 8 changes the scenario. So if something in subsection 8 happens, then the minister can go through this process. And then subsection 5 says what type of the industry knowledge that is required. So we just reorganize the words almost with the context first. To say that if this happens in subsection 8, then the minister can appoint, but he must in doing that appointment, he must take into consideration the qualifications in subsection 5. So just a little bit of a logical reorganization there.
Chair, I know that reference is now to be made to E as an insertion, but I think you might want to comment also on the rewording C, which to me is a lot better now than it was. I did problems previously, and I hope to standardize it throughout.
Didn't see.
C is the one where it says if you've been imprisoned anywhere in the world for anything, pleading fine, you can't be a member. So now you've reworded it. I would suggest in South Africa in a sense. Yes. That the court.
It's on point. We looked at the in the Republic of Alger, and it was difficult to we had this example. This was a lengthy discussion during the drafting meeting. And that, for example, if you have probable homicide, here is a crime that's not necessarily a crime in America because they reject the second degree murder. So it was difficult to use our phrasing of a crime to then imply that or almost put that onto another country's system. So what we've done is we have most of the wording. Under the assumption that usually your sentences without fine, that's your serious crimes. Usually that somebody will have a long sentence and your court will then not give that person the option of a fine. So instead of referring to a specific crime, we're saying without the option of imprisonment without the option of a fine. And then also put fraud in. So sometimes fraud does have the option of fine and imprisonment or because you don't want a board member that can mismanage a board. So we split the two. But in principle, that is possible of being cross-cutting. If you have somebody that was found guilty then approved in another country, but they call it something else, and that's still, so interpretation-wise, you could still read that in. Or if that person was found guilty of second-degree murder, that we call it culpable homicide, he wasn't given the option of a fine, he would also be disqualified, seeing as board members can be residents and not necessarily citizens as well. So it's broad and cross-cutting. But if you regard to the fact that it must be a serious crime, not a petty offence of kicking out of somebody's postbox and then being charged with damaging property.
Yeah. Unfortunately, it's awkward. I understand what's being said, and I think it's much better worded than before, but we still left the problem of your Turkish dwelling being an ex-prisoner, even within this definition, who then would be excluded from serving on a board. So how do you deal with that? Because the previous version had from the commencement of the Constitution.
Thank you, members. Other members, that's why we put it in a period of 10 years preceding the date. Because that's what the offences that were excluded then by the constitutional definition falls then within the preceding 10 years. Because our new constitutional dispensation is far longer been in place now than 10 years. So within a period of 10 years preceding, that almost safeguard people so that they won't be persecuted or excluded longer than court of law would almost punish you, just to keep that in mind. So if anybody prior to the 1996 constitution or even the 1994 interim constitution won't be excluded from this, they will be able to qualify for court members.
Sorry, I understand what's intended, but to me it doesn't say that at all. To me, the within the 10 years it refers only to the fraud and imprisonment period. Because it reads, or in the case of fraud or crime imprisonment within a 10-year period. The 10-year period doesn't relate to the first portion of the clause, which is conviction of a crime or imprisonment without offer of fine. Can that be worded more clearly as a couple of words, not rather than one only? Unless I'm not, but it sounds to me, I would have started maybe within the period of 10 years.
Then we have claimed the option there. Members can, I know members will have to vote on what the role of the National Assembly should be, but just we retain the possible reporting option as a space under there in 11, and that will then also be straight through still. The dissolution of the board includes two honourable members, and nothing was raised there in the previous meeting. It should be looked at, but we didn't touch clause 2 at all for amendment. And similarly also clause 3. That was just speaking to the CPP skills and the CEO. We didn't, nothing here has been changed from the previous meeting.
That's the problem. I thought we said, we agreed that we've extended those CEO issues as well in relation to this meeting.
Honourable members, we can go back and do that. What we got from the meeting, and I stand to be corrected, but the department said they were going to look at the CEO one. Throughout that wasn't part of the process, and then in the 2-year period report back to the committee on the progress made with that. We can try and stabilize that as well. Apologies if that's an oversight from our side, but we thought there was agreement that would be in the next change.
Chair, what happened, if you recall, initially that was the proposal. Then when we discovered that we had this 4-day or 5-day period in which to come back to us with a new version, we said, well, as well, since the board said we'll standardize CEO provisions as well, and the 2-year period will cover all the other stuff. So my understanding was we were standardizing the CEO provisions as well for today. It's not the end of the universe anyway, because we've got pressure to build this year. We've got to have to meet again in the new year. So if we just extend it to the new year, but I think now the stage. That's my understanding of what we agreed anyway.
Well,
that's
it. For what difference from the this bill is only due to be finalized next year. We can see the project of the new elaborate here, which is you see, this is the advert which gives up to the 11 members of the public to respond. And as you know, we are our parliamentary last day is Tuesday the 12th. There is no way that we can finalize this bill whether we like it or not this year. So we will only finalize it early next year. So as a result, if there are any things to be corrected, they can still be corrected now.
Amending the National Research Foundation Act, Clause 4, that deals with the board. their members indicated in subsection 1 the issue of the wording of who appoints and who nominates whether it's the National Advisory Council and the Council of Higher Education or the Ministry, that the phrasing there was ambiguous and needed to be clarified who appoints and who nominates. So we have there in subsection 1A, Roman numeral 3 and 4, then split the number saying one member appointed by the Minister after nomination from the National Advisory Council of Innovation, and then doing similar for the Council of Higher Education. So it is one appointment made from nomination received from both of those. So it can't be a vote that both nominate and the Minister just appoints two from the one but ignores the other. So that's to clarify that ambiguity that was there. And then carrying that new provision through to by subsection 2B by written notice called upon the National Advisory Council and the Council of Higher Education. So the interpretation of one, subsection 1 then informs subsection 2 that both men can either just nominate one or they can nominate four, but the minister will also to choose one from each. Then with admission chair, also in subsection 2, we then carried through the language issue that was highlighted by members and the independent panel issue that was also highlighted. Similarly, then in 2A, the nomination if no nominations or an insufficient number of nominations was received, we will then carry through the amendments made by members in clause 1 to this one to just clarify the I've all, identified all, and another transparent number in there as well. And then to carry through the fit and proper issue, that has been included in subsection 3, the members of the board must all be fit and proper persons who have achieved certain distinctions in certain areas of the law. Just for harmonization there and in meaning. And then share with subsection 4, that was an amendment proposed by members and then that we just affected already from previous meetings that it should be civil society retained. So I'm just taking something out of the amendment bill proposed and bring it back. So that has also been clarified just from a previous meeting. Similarly in subsection 6, Chairperson, the Speaker's Talk Office has been put in place as a possibility to produce the vacate office, which means it starts with two vague principles. And then we carried through the wherever it says misconduct, incapacity, or incompetence, members pointed out that in one of the other seven principle acts, instead of saying misconduct, incapacity, incompetence, it says the minister may remove somebody on reasonable grounds. So we have just merged that to say, either to hold office, the minister terminates his or her period of office due to misconduct, incapacity, incompetence, or any other reasonable ground. So just to make that uniform throughout.
Because also that
Because
also, what could any other reasonable ground be that's not covered by misconduct, intensity, or incompetence? I mean, I can't think of a situation that those three words that describe.
It is always safe.
It is always safe to also include the unknown that may crop up from time to time in law.
That's a good point. As long as it itself creates problems. You know, I don't like the look of you in a reasonable ground.
Thank you, yes, that's also how we understand it. It's for that individuality with something that is fit in the precise definition and then it just falls short of or under. But if somebody doesn't like this person, I'm sure that would be unreasonable. Then that if members are fine with that, that is something we just for harmonization in meaning. In subsection 7, then, that was just to accommodate the split that we now included for the national, for the Council of Higher Education and the National Innovation, National Advisory Council of Innovation. We just had to restructure that because there's now a new subdivision included. So that's just a pure restructuring. And then we will put in again there where anything was carried through with the transparency issue for members in this one as well. Also then, honourable members, if I can and members, if I can just go read actual attention being discussed, issue 9. There again is this where we standardize the crime, what can be and what can't be in 10 years. That's just something we carried over and placed in that context of issue 9.
One question there, if I may. I just wanted to get clarity whether the qualification here, looking at 9A, you're a citizen of or permanent resident in. Are we talking about permanent residence here as a legal definition, or as a, or is this a description of where you reside? I ask because a permanent resident of the Republic doesn't necessarily mean the same thing as a permanent resident in the Republic. I can be a permanent resident and presumably be outside. I should have been the outside country. Permanent resident to the outside of the country. I don't know whether permanent resident in the Republic is referring to that you must actually physically be here as opposed to be entitled to be here. Just for clarity.
Okay. Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Anna. That is a very good point. That is really, in this instance, it's permanent resident as a legal meaning. So it should be of the Republic legal status.
Is that English, eh?
That's not English. It's a question of whether it's a description of what's intended, in fact.
Thank you very much for that. That is something we missed. In clause 5, which is just the decision of the board again, we didn't touch that. It remains the same as the previous discussion. And similar then with clause 6, and I will then just highlight where colonization has been requested for CEOs, but we will flag that as something we need to come back to the committee for. Clause 7, we didn't change anything. That deals with the regulations that speaks to upon which topics the minister can issue regulations. Nothing was flagged there in the previous meeting. So with mission chair, then moving on to the amending the Academy of Science of the South African Act.
And pardon me, clause 7. The minister may consult with the board meeting, but A, there's nothing. I just want to, if there was something that was at the time, but then that mean, is it going to be really blank, or do you have any recommendations to the committee on for consideration?
Yes, I noticed, apologies, I should perhaps have clarified that in the previous version we had a strike through there to indicate what was deleted. I put that in to show members how the bill would now read. If members pick up the Clinical Act as amended now after the whole process, when something is deleted, it will merely have an ellipse there to indicate that there was something, but the committee agrees that it should be removed. So that's just to indicate how it will ultimately look at the end. Honourable members of the Academy, we didn't do too much of a serious change because as the department explained last time, this is the one entity that's almost unique in its functioning. So we tweaked as little as possible, but we inserted the crime element there, just to, again, to at least hold the meaning there, and we added fit and proper to hold office, and we changed the phrasing again from vacate to cease. There's no big changes there to interfere too much with the uniqueness of the Academy, but just to harmonize the meaning of phrases there. And then cease to hold office was carried through to subsection 5.
Can I just ask a question?
Two, three. It's declared by High Court of an outside minor without disorder of the change under mental health institution. Is it only applying in the academy?
Yes.
Can I be raising that, Chair, and pardon my ignorance. Because you in other you only talk about mental health. You don't unpack the mental fitness. But here, you do. Is that only applying in this one, or it should be in all? But in others, as I said, you only say mental health.
Thank you, Chief.
Oh, I also to defend. Looks like to the of the okay, let's go.
Chair, maybe my colleague will give a legal answer, but I think I must give a different answer to the question. Honourable members will recall that I did indicate when Honourable Smith that we highlighted some of the issues in the different legislation that do not read in the same way. That one of the issues is that we all acknowledge the fact that these principal legislations were written at different times. Therefore using different expressions and explanations. So therefore what we present in front of the committee will not be similar because those are the specific sections that we're not actually dealing with. We do take the point that when certain legislation were written, I think the certain processes were more explicit than others. For example, I think in other cases we talk about people who are unfit, you know, without specifying what unfit means. But what we're saying is that I think presenting this bill before the committee, which is not actually addressing some of those clauses. That's why I said we therefore request that we be given a period of 2 years to deal with the harmonization of all municipal legislation, you know, to pick up some of those things. There could be various reasons, you know, why at a particular time when this act was dealt with, for example, why there were those specific, you know, Chair would acknowledge the fact that, you know, I think in front of you, Chair, you have seen different men and women presenting legislation before you with different, you know, approaches. So probably even drafters, you know, might differ. So really, I thought I should explain it in that regard.
Perhaps if I can just add something that we picked up and we discussed in our drafting meeting as well. It's not necessarily, when we looked at harmonization, and as my colleague from the department has now pointed out, it's a harmonization in meaning, not necessarily in precise phrasing, because of the legislation, you get 2008 legislation and 1997 legislation. If you harmonize wording, you basically have to scratch the whole act and start from scratch and have everything reflected very the same. In this instance, where it says unbound mind or mending ordered or detained, we found that in the city fit and proper, it almost encapsulates or is that basket provision that anything that falls wayward would then be caught up in the other pieces of legislation, where we might have just said unbound a mind, mending ordered or detained will fall into that fit and proper basket in the others. So just to caution everybody, when we say we have harmonized, we've harmonized in meaning. But not necessarily harmonize every comma or every full stop for that purpose. I think just to highlight Chair. Thank you, Chair.
Sorry, on the same thing, I'm not speaking at all, in fact, if it makes sense, otherwise you'd be writing. So I presume that this bill is in fact a transitional bill anyway. It's to cover a situation until the principal acts to be done. And then there'll be repeal as part of that process. But and the academy is different to the others, admittedly, and so we have to take account of that as different. But I'm a little bit puzzled by E and F there. Let me just say, those are specific to the nature of the academy, as opposed to any of the other boards. I mean, I know what it means that you have had three prescribed results, whatever that refers to, recorded by the president, at which those have been given. I don't know what that means. And maybe it doesn't matter for now, because it's that. And the same one also, you know, the next one, bringing the academy to distribute. I presume you could bring the HSRC to distribute, you could bring the CSI on to distribute, but we're not too concerned about there, but here we are. So, I mean, if it isn't the case that the department is saying, well, these are unique to the academy, and therefore, you know, they don't have to be harmonized with the rest, I'm completely accepted, but it is quite strange that in the harmonization process we've had clauses which seem to be completely at odds with everything else. But if there's a good reason for this, fine. Yeah. I buy that. But I mean, is that the case for those two?
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, members. I think on this point, I'll have to defer to my colleagues in the department, because that speaks to the principle act. I'm not sure what the policy rationale behind that would have been.
Thanks, Chair. Honourable Smith, maybe I can speak to F. The Academy of Science of South Africa prescribes a process for dealing with misconduct in the act itself, and then this then relates to a situation where you have been found guilty. After the process has been formalized, then it becomes a disqualification.
Yeah.
Yes. But the other, it says there is no processes for this misconduct. It's only specific only to the academy. Regarding the prescribed defaults, in the Act, the Academy of Standards of South Africa Act, there is a process which the Academy institutes to discipline its own members. Yes, in its own Act. So now, if you've been finding it after process, then that is a disqualification. So that's why it's in here. But in others, there is no, you know, member, you know, there is not present like this. So it's different in the academies. The prescribed defaults, if the committee can allow us maybe to reflect on it and see why it's specified. But our view is that since it's specific to the academy, because maybe it caters for a specific situation that is in terms of the Act, but we didn't consider it for those of this, but we can reflect on it and then get it back to the committee.
Thank you, Chair. Then on permission, anything else in speaking to the academic clause 8 amendment?
From the history of the, are you having some different opinion? What do you
think? No, Chair, I was just trying to explain the part. that this is part and parcel of the disciplinary process within ASAF, for an example, is that where members, you know, the defaults are very proud to relate to issues of conduct of the member, because this is an association, relates to members' fees and many other processes. So therefore, those defaults are recorded, you know, by the president of the academy. So the president here, I don't mean the president of the republic, but president of the academy. And then they're careful, I think, for a certain period. That is why I have said that the member needs to be a member of the council if there are three divorces within a period of 5 years. So we thought there was proper reasons. Thanks.
Thank you, Chair. Then just get to wrap up clause 8, means just seek to hold office again with it into substitute for AK, and then the reporting option at the bottom there to maintain this work. Sorry, pardon, Chair.
I have a time to move it up and down.
Pardon, Chair. And yeah, I'm going to give this. And it's in Subsection 5 of Clause 8. We have just put in, if a member of the council ceases to hold office instead of vacating office, just to clarify that ambiguity there as well. And then, with permission, Chair, we move on to Clause 9, where we start dealing with amendments to the National Scientific Professions Act. And that is an amendment that's amended proposed. We need to clean up that it doesn't say somebody who is registered as a scientist. So we are proposing the phrase that must have scientific qualifications at the end of their profession. So somebody who has studied and has a PhD is still qualified, but he or she never registered. That just broadens the pool a little bit there. That is the only significant amendment we are proposing in Clause 9. Clause 10 then moves on again by subsection 2, we are just putting in again the language issue and following that in an independent panel versus the members requested. Then we will just in clause 5 alter as members have indicated with clause 1 that either or re-advertise or any other transparent manner. For that in so that is the only big amendment or a technical additional amendment to clause 10. With permission, the Chair, also nothing added following last week's meeting to clause 9 has been changed. In clause 12, we will just have to change that then as members have indicated, as it was before a permanent president of clarify that it's a legal meaning. We will do that. And we have then also included the imprisonment with or without a fine issue to cover everybody else, and we must exclude people unnecessarily with the 10-year provision. But in there, and in back on page 18 as well, in clause 12, we have added fit and proper again. Similar to seize child office instead of vacant office, there in subsection 2, and we have repeated that in subsection 4, just for consistency purposes, a seize to hold. Then commission chairperson, clause 13 again deals with the dissolution of board. There is anything there, no, nothing was flagged or raised with the issue. And similar to clause 14, that just deals with the seize to be killed person. We have left that untouched as table for the amendment as introduced. Then honourable members, moving on to the amendment of the Human Science Research Council Act. It's on at the bottom of page 9. We start with clause 15 that deals with the board of council. Here at the top of page 10 then, we have included the language issue members flag as well as the independence panel amendment that's required. We have those two there in sub 2A and B. And then we will just revise sub 3A to incorporate alternatives of the exercise of concurrency again. But that then is the rationale behind 3A that has been carried through. And then in subsection 4C again, the fit and proper has been inserted as a consistent amendment. So to then a crime and or imprisonment with or without the fine, we have to just clean that up in section CSD for that purpose. And so members will see subsection 7, if there again has to do to misconduct, incapacity, incompetence, or any other reasonable ground. This is an example of the principle act where it really said reasonable ground, and we have now two harmonizable meanings drawn in the misconduct, incapacity. We have that almost as a package for further reference. Then we haven't changed anything else in substance from the previous meeting on clause 50 chair. And section, clause 16 again mirrors the provisions of the dissolution of the board, which members did not flag anything for. Similarly, with clause 17, we will flag that for future amendments if the acting CEO issue that must be addressed for committee consideration. Apologies again for that overnight. That is then clause 17. We will look into that. And clause 18 similarly again is just an amendment to the regulations, so we have not touched that following the previous meeting. With that then, and with permission, we move on to the amendment to the Technology Innovation Agency Act, the TIA Act. There in clause 19 we deal with the board of the agency, and we have again just pulled through the language consideration and the independence of the panel consideration there in subsections 4A and B, and we will flag that 4A for the committee amendment inclusion of the advertised or any other transfer manner again, but that in the rationale for 4A inclusion there. And then members picked up that this is the cash, while the other speaks about the representative as a member of the board, or the board being broadly representative of the demographics of the country. This one didn't have that in, so we included it here in subsection 8, just to create a sort of a whole national system. So that then is a inclusion in the clause, and then clause 20, again, we have added the reasonable grounds, because that's also an example with the principal act and the misconduct and inability and absence and not any other reasonable grounds. We back that into this, and then clause 20 just to substitute vacate office to cease to hold office. Then we put as subsection 3 there. Just to say that if I'm in vacate office, you should probably cease to hold office. So for a clarification there. But then with permission chairs, I can move on to clause 21 that deals with the term of office of members of the board. We have not tweaked them, and this is not flagged officially, so we left that untouched at amendment table. And the same with clause 22 to deal with the dissolution of the board again. The Commission Chair, that also 23, we will flag primarily for the review of something we have to come back to, because that speaks to the CEOs again, and we will harmonize those with it. Then clause 24 is the beginning of when we start amending the African National Space Agency Act. It made this turn to page 15, that federal discussion standards amendments following our redraft comes in. That is when we speak to at the top there of page 15 to the language of issue as well as the FN and channel issue, carrying that through. And then also we will revise thereby subsection 3 for as far as consultation and transparency concerns are, we will revise that to link members to just carry in the attachment alternative again. And here is another example of in subsection 4D, where we speak to the broad representative of the demographics of the Republic, where we insisted as requested by members just to carry through that consistency. So the 25th information share business speaks to disqualification and filling of vacancies where somebody has ceased to hold office. We carry through the issue of time. This was raised by members that that should not be too restrictive of including, of unnecessarily excluding candidates. And we also carry over the certain pocket issue that a member of this board should be set appropriate as a safeguard. Similarly, as a safeguard there, we have inserted there in subsection 2D, we have inserted the reasonable ground as well, and sustained effect. So on him, we have not touched anything substantially on the previous meeting in clause 25, just telling you those requested amendments. Section 26, again, then dealing with the dissolution of the board, left untouched completely. And section 27, we are then flagging for to come back to next for that harmonization.
Right, thank you very much for the clarification, taking us through the harmonization of the bill. Any comment from members so far?
Yeah, but a question on that page, clause 7, regulations. Regulations is the extension of the act, and should the regulations also be referred back to the committee? Yes, but I'm asking this question because according to the documentation of my party, we should ask for regulations to be referred back to the committee or at least be tabled in the committees for discussion and review, is it not?
Regulation of ministerial arising out of the legislation that exists.
I understand that.
We can as a committee ask for regulations if we want to, but the minister is not bound to every regulation that you can produce that you send to the committee or the table should be approved by the committee.
I understand the regulation and I'm asking.
I would have to, just qualify myself, it isn't that the committee can't put something like that in principle, regulation is a delegated legislation, something that the committee deals with. Parliament has been placed a committee scrutinizing delegated legislation. I can, with permission, look at how that committee functions and report back on the manner in which they will deal with delegated legislation, and if their functions would require us to put in some sort of referencing in the act. but I will have to ask the TIC permission to go back and then look into those systems and report back to what is meant, if any, it is necessary, and then to put options in front of the committee. But in principle, in the nation, you're completely correct, and that is a ministerial function, something that allows the minister to give effect to the legislation.
Yeah, that is how the time of processing the legislation of understood it in Parliament. Regulations are a ministerial, but Parliament as an oversight body can request for those or an explanation if they don't understand the regulations, but they are the competence of the minister.
And I understand, I study law, so I understand the regulation, but is it possible for them to go back to their committee and report to us, please? Thank you.
Yes, my recollection is, and there have been, I mean, I'm pretty sure, I've been in a committee where in the law we've written that regulations, although of course they are business confidence, so nonetheless to be tabled with the committee because the committee wants to scrutinise them, and that just simply forces the process instead of relying on the discretion of a committee here to remember that this is the case. So I think one can put it in the slightly little bit in a sense. But I wonder whether this issue, also the issue, of course, big issues of the role of the committee, we're going to pop this until the new year. I don't think we have decided that bigger issue yet. Luckily, there's a proposal to bill. And we had a brief 5-minute discussion in our last meeting, but we haven't concretized that. I've requested that we pop that until New Year.
Okay. Any other inputs? Honourable Dunn.
Just let it in. Maybe that's not written in law. Just, I seem to understand just a minor thing. The age of his and the F of she, of, I'm sorry, and the age of her is in small letters, right? So in the, whereas the board is in capital B, municipal act is in capital B. Is it law or is it, and if it is, can I request it to be tidy, to be inconsistent with that?
Thank you, members. Your official position as the minister and the minister of this is a present, your official titles, which usually is the capital, but also in situations where it's the board, it depends on how the definition was phrased and the definition clause of that specific act. So there will be the definition in that section. I'll have to go check for consistency on whoever said it's usually that the board will then be a B and a capital B with board, and because the board is a definition, everywhere else it is referred to this, so that members read it with definition will then also reflect with that capital. Where his or her gives the alternative of any person sitting into that cell. But I will have to go check for consistency. It's not something that I can go look at or can I speak off the cuff. I'll go have to go see how it's phrased in the definition section to make sure that meaning is properly valid to us in the tool.
Any further input from honourable members? If none, then we may say therefore that we come to the juncture of this session, and we will therefore request the department to attend to whatever needs to attend to from arising from today's interaction. And I guess the most important one would be that one to harmonize the CEO. We understand those other concerns that are from the Principal Act that you have requested a period of 2 years. We'll also look into that. But just to remember that we're not here last time. Honorable Smith is talking about the options which came with this bill, in which case the members are going to select an option, which option they think will favor the committee, one of which is the option that we've been using in consultation with, and after consultation, and then the other option where the minister decides everything as per this, and we request for notification within 30 days. So this is what was raised last week when some members were not present, and we decided, because we were very few, that we will, when we finalize the bill, we'll look into that, all of us, and if we don't agree, then we will have to put it on vote. And that's all that I need to use. But this is a bill of this committee now. And this committee has to take a decision of how it wants it to read like, how it wants it to be carried through to society. So we need to have unanimous. If we are not unanimous, we need to vote. And therefore, the majority voice then takes it off. That's it for today. Thank you very much. I hope that the department will have enough time during Christmas season to look into harmonizing this with a bottle of whiskey next to the song.
Maybe since it's the last meeting of the year, we could also thank the department for our interaction for the year. I think we've had a very healthy interaction with them. They're a good department. They're a pleasure to work with. I, for one, would like to say it. I wouldn't say that for a very many departments, but this is what I can say. So I'd also like to wish them a happy Christmas and a new year, and look forward to seeing you guys in 2014.
Yes, President, so I think you have had now the voice from your committee as well as our voices. Thank you very much, Honourable Smith. Oh, there is Honourable Bidge also wants to say something.
With that, Chair, agreeing with Honourable Smith, is it possible to remember in the presentation of NFTA an area with which some of us had a discussion on anger? We were promised to be given that the issue of transformation. We then promised that we would get that because entities do have those. Is it possible that before we arrive, we can get that from the department as promised?
Okay, they we can schedule that as a briefing from the department, I think. We can just have a strong event.
Thank you, Chair. I would just like to inform the committee and thank the department for the opportunity that was arranged by Shama Natu, Parliamentary Liaison Officer, for me to meet with Dr. Van der Hoff and officials from the department to answer extensive volume of questions of mine, and I also was permitted to bring my colleague whose constituency Carnarvon falls in and all those the towns in the area, and I really would like to thank the committee for arranging this opportunity. It was very fruitful. Thank you.
Chair, why are we in the hex mode? we'll love each other. We should thank you as the chair. Thank you for chairing the committee so well. And look forward to continuing this relationship with the new year.
As the chairperson, let me thank the members of the committee for their good cooperation throughout this period. And I hope that they will also be cooperative. We will be able to finalize this bill before the Parliament Committee for Parliament. There's another one
I can't commit to the windbreaker, but I will follow up on it. I think it's imperative that members do actually represent some of the key national projects that should do, because wherever they go, they should listen, really supporting that. But on the sense of chair, we also like to really extend our appreciation to the committee. I think on behalf of the minister and the issue on the way that I think we've been able to do with the committee over this calendar year. So we are looking forward to interact with the committee in the coming calendar year. So really, we appreciate the cooperation and support, and we do our best to ensure that we provide the committee with all the details that they need for us to continue to excel the department. Thank you very much.
Finally, I must also commend myself for the good work well done to take us through up this level.
I want to remind the committee that at the beginning of this year we decided to celebrate Minister's 60th birthday. Now he's already nearly 61, so we need to do something soon. Thank you. Lastly, maybe. I remember when I went to the portfolio committee. When I was introducing myself, I said to introduce a study group. And the Minister Alejandro was still in the Minister for the Department. And I think I named this portfolio committee by default. Okay. And he wanted to know whether I say I'm in the committee by default. That's when I can hardly operate a cell phone and I come to be in the portfolio committee of science and technology. Encouraged me. And listen, I really and heartily thank you for having been patient with us, not being scientists. You held us by the hand, particularly me, to an extent that I came to enjoy the science and portfolio committee. And there's no committee that I enjoy like this committee. You know, I can miss other portfolio committees, but I can't miss this. Thanks so much. Although we used to buy some but I would like to really thank you for having been treated with this opportunity.
I took really on a more serious note, reminding me of something that is when I came here I felt so intimidated. I remember of one who was somewhere in one of the African kingdoms. I came back, I said in our study group, I said, "Chair, you have intimidated me. You spoke above our heads, and we are not scientists. I don't know why you don't understand that." And truth be told, when the department was talking at that meeting, I think it was in the midst of a desert. But today, I took it, and Minister Fano said, "You are not a scientist. You're a policymaker, you play oversight." And it is at that time that I vowed that my activism will be to ensure that science and technology change the social conditions of people. And for that, I'm very thankful. But the only thing is that my children always say, correct, when they're going to be naughty, "Aren't you in science and technology? Every day spend your left hand the whole weekend." No, but for that, I don't think on behalf of the committee and the WIP, we have been very hard at times I remember there's only one or two entities that will show them the door. And I always say to my colleagues, if there's one committee that has got peace and harmony, because we don't deal with gender. So that's why we have got all don't deal with gender or gender, but our day has really been a very sophisticated and one kind of a teacher. If you talk about skies, if you talk about the stars, what do you name them? The galaxies. Yes. And it's unfortunate that the minister is here, because I think that the deputy minister and the lawyer have fitted in science and technology, and I think that is also true. And the staff, I want to thank the staff very much for being patient with us and understanding that we're not researchers. The times would go the tangent, but now we are confident that at least we can stand up in front of the scientists. And our last budget vote debate has been the budget vote debate of this portfolio. Colleagues, minister, Mr. Zimandi said, "I never knew we don't be that science and technology can be debated in the lecture." Oh, and we did that. We were all in the honorable line was in Afrikaans, I was in Khoisa. But what people said is that the something very strange would say something also when you go to each part of the page, you really see the difference between the two. I do think that if we do come back in 2014 after election, I'm the first one who will stand up and go to all parties and say, well, Peter will come back, he told me that.
Thank you.